Hello everyone, welcome. It's Friday. Well, I mean it is for me. I don't know if it is for you. It could be next Monday for you. Welcome back to Private Education, the Smart Sex and Relationships podcast. Today, I have my guest, and it is Cassie. And Cassie is normally sitting in the other corner. Hi, Cassie.
Hi.
Cassie's normally sitting in the other corner, being like, you know, techie and like wrangling scout, but she's my guest today. And we decided 3.5 minutes ago that today we're going to talk about reality TV shows perpetuating myths about relationships and how they make you think that relationships are different and that they're basically unhealthy and horrific. What do you think, Cassie?
Yeah, I just came here to shit on everyone's fun.
Which is brilliant. That's what we want. Love Island finished last night, which is, you know, it makes this timely, conveniently, because like I said, we came up with this topic 3.5 minutes ago. So we haven't done extensive research, I'm going to say.
We have a lot of opinions, though.
We have a lot of feelings. Very little research. A lot of feelings, though. What's your first feeling?
So I just started watching Love is Blind. Now, when I say I just started, I put it on
it's
the other
terrifying.
Day for a few minutes and was like, this is absolutely shocking and appalling, and turned it off. Yeah. And then I went away and was living my day-to-day life, and I noticed that everyone seemed to be talking about it on Twitter and Instagram. So I was like, here, I'll give it a go. At exactly 36 minutes into the first episode, I vomited in my mouth. I was like, what
this? Did you vomit in your mouth and then do a quick time check?
Yeah, it was just like, I know, I was like, I want to note this, because I can't believe I felt that way so soon into the series.
Fair.
So basically, for anyone who hasn't watched it, Love is Blind is this new
deranged,
so deranged TV show on Netflix where a bunch of, I'm going to say they're deep South America singletons.
Like, are we going to say deep South? Yeah.
We're in a weird Bible Belt level of.
Fair. No, fair.
Because their opinions about relationships are
skewed.
Yes.
To say the least.
Yes. I was going to say rudimentary. Like, they are just, they're just very, very straight laced.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah.
Man and woman. Woman comes home. Man looks after woman.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, was shocking. Then you put it into context where I figured that that's what we're dealing with. And made it a little bit better. But basically, the premise of the show is that all these singletons don't meet each other. They talk to each other behind a wall.
Terrifying.
Get to kind of know everybody, and then they propose to each other.
And like, propose, and I don't mean like the ride or a casual date. They mean like engagement, like marriage. They propose actual marriage to each other after a very short amount of time.
Very short amount.
Five days was the first one.
But I Love You came on the second day.
Yeah.
So they're basically putting them into this weird bubble where they're getting to know each other.
Intensely. I suppose,
like, intensely without that physical attraction, which is also, it's important in a relationship.
Yeah.
So they're taking that away, trying to build these meaningful connections, convincing these people they've built these meaningful connections after a short amount of time. And then they're pushing them towards marriage.
Like, you can see, right, the whole Love is Blind concept. You can see where that would be. Okay, like, look, it's deranged, but it's great TV. We'll acknowledge that for stuff. But you can see why some producer in the Deep South was like,
Great idea.
Is such a novel thing. We're going to take away the physical barriers to love, and we're going to make you see each other for who you are. And there was this, one of the initial kind of couples that emerged, the guy was white, the girl was black, and they had this chat about how she'd never dated outside her race before, and how now she was going to marry him, and they were so happy, and they were, spoilers, but you know, that they were so happy, and that she would just have to learn how to, and she'd never kissed a white man before. There was all this stuff about, you know, the fact that she probably would never have gone for him if she'd seen him out, which kind of supports the
but
notion that love is blind.
Love.
And now they're in love,
yeah,
and getting married.
Yeah, so it
after
is,
5 days.
Yeah, and I think the thing, it is entertaining TV. That's the disgusting part about it.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
We're watching it, and we're watching it with this sort of through this lens of, this is so ridiculous. Yeah. It's entertaining for us.
Car crash.
Yeah. And we do the same with reality TV shows, because we're well educated, experienced we're in our 30s and we've had enough life experiences to watch that mm-hmm. and say, that's a car crash. That is not going to work out. That is going to go to absolute shit in a matter of days. But
as quickly as the relationship was solidified, it will
that
melt.
Is going to, and you are going to get hurt and you are going to be embarrassed. And this is a bad idea all around. Yeah. And it's ridiculous that we're perpetuating these kind of reality TV shows because we're watching it, even though we're watching it through that lens.
Yeah.
It's like when they, I don't know whether they're creating it knowing that we're kind of half laughing as we watch it, or if they create it knowing, thinking that this is, people are going to think that this is
I feel
amazing.
Like, I feel like the creators might be making it knowing that 50% of people are going to look at it and be like, here, this mm-hmm. is a load of my arse. And then the other 50% are going to be like, I could fall in love with someone in 5 days.
Yeah.
And they're appealing to the people who are like searching for love.
At one point, there's a girl in it who was like, I just can't believe that 2 weeks ago I was on the dating scene and now I'm engaged to the love of my life and I have a fiance. And I'm like, oh, stop like giving people that idea and thinking that that's
false hope.
Normal.
Yeah.
But not even false hope. My problem with reality dating TV shows more and more is that they're perpetuating dangerous stereotypes of relationships or dangerous behavior as the norm mm-hmm. and creating this this new level of behavior that is totally unacceptable. But because we see it on the TV and because we see really fucking good looking people do it, everyone's like, well, that's fine, you know? Yeah. And I think it started really badly a couple of years ago in Love Island when it was the year with like Wes and Laura and stuff. And there was that whole notion of, oh, I'm happy with Laura, but I could be happier. And that sentence,
The iconic line. Never to be forgotten.
That sentence and that sentiment then gave Wes license to go off and do whatever he wanted. Mm. And Love Island is weird because it's a game show.
Yeah.
You know, essentially. Yeah. And they're gamifying relationships and connections. And, you know, the whole premise of the show was go in there, find someone and try and win the money.
Yeah. And actually, someone on Twitter said last night, because obviously, well, not obviously, if you're into this sort of thing, Love Island, the final of Love Island was last night. And someone on Twitter said, oh, they should take away the money thing at the end. So, you know, the way at the end of Love Island, one person, a couple obviously wins, one person gets 50 grand in an envelope, the other person gets nothing in the envelope, and then it's up to that person to say, yes, I'll share my money with this person that I'm supposedly in love with. And someone on Twitter was like, that should be taken away, it turns it all into a game show.
It is a game show!
And someone else got on and was like, sorry, it is a game show from start to finish. They're in there to win money. Like.
But it's also more than that, because Love Island, people go on to Love Island to win a career, to win a short-term influencer career.
A contract with Pretty Little Thing or Boohoo.com or Pap Smear, whatever that show thing is called.
Love Island is a different planet.
Yeah.
It is a different... It's a different society because they operate within different rules. And the rules within Love Island are you can meet someone and then shift them and then go away and a couple of days later recouple with someone else. Yeah. They take away all of the normal social boundaries that we have, which are there to protect people.
Yeah.
You know, so they
like
take away
Love
respect.
Love Island is like a holiday romance on ketamine.
It's like the Gael talked on, like,
oh my
exactly.
God, it's like
that's
the Gael
it.
Talked on
because
serious hard drugs.
You're in this weird microcosm where you only exist to the other people in it.
Yeah.
So only those people there can understand your experience.
Yeah.
And you create this language and you create these social norms that you all buy into and you all agree with. Mm-hmm. And they're the things that give license to bad behavior. So Wes's sentence, I could be happier. All the boys then were like, oh yeah, well, if Wes can do it, I can do it. If that's the thing, I can do it. Mm-hmm. Then the following year, it was all about connection. I just feel I have a better connection. I had an instant connection with someone. And they're using these words out of context.
This year was shoot your shot. This year was like, you might as well shoot your shot. Why
that's
not?
That's it.
You have a chance.
You notice these catchphrases every year and you notice them in different TV shows all the time as well. And what they are new rules. And it's like, you know, everyone who's in the show agrees to be part of that weird sub-society where they can behave in that way. And while they're in the villa and while they're on TV and participating in a game show, that's fine.
Yes.
Because that's what they have to do to win the money. They're all buying into it. They're all consenting into it. So that's fine. But it's when those sentences and sentiments are then replicated in the normal world that's a problem.
In
and that's
IRL.
And that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Because it gives license to young boys to be able to say, oh, I could be happier with somebody else.
Yeah.
And to go out in a night out and fucking cheat.
Yeah.
And it gives license to people to, you know, pick up relationships and drop them and whatever. And like, obviously, that's people's prerogative. I'm not saying everyone needs to commit to the first person that they, you know, that they meet and stick with them through thick and thin. Obviously, when you're young, you can find yourself and explore. But like, there's just a fundamental level of respect that's missing from these relationships that makes it such a hard watch. And I think that it's being treated as just commonplace now.
As if it's real life.
And that's what media has always, always done.
Yes.
People buy into media, watch media, enjoy media. And when I say media, I mean all forms of content. Online, TV shows, Netflix, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Games.
Songs.
People like media that they see themselves reflected in.
Mm-hmm.
That's all people want.
People like anything that they see themselves reflected in. People like people that they see themselves reflected in.
And it's an unconscious bias. You easily relate to people who look like you.
Yeah.
You relate to people who sound like you, feel like you, behave like you.
Totally.
So when you see that behavior, and it might be a little dormant kind of like niggling thought in you, if you see that on the TV, it gives license to behave like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's both a positive and negative thing. Obviously, media representation of minorities, queer groups, all that kind of stuff is super important and has advanced political causes and society in ways that we couldn't have imagined. But now I think with the kind of, with the level of TV shows that we have and these kind of reality TV shows, it's going the opposite way and it's dangerous. And I know I sound like the biggest party pooper to be over here and be like, I'm worried about the youth.
I'm worried about the children.
And like sitting up here in my 5-year relationship and being like, you shouldn't behave like that. That's not normal.
It's but true though, because I am terrified for the youth of today. Which makes me sound like,
well, the Mary youth of today, they're all out fucking dropping each other left, right and centre and doing anal. But like,
that's all they do. That's all they do. There's just like, could I be happier? Well, I could be happier with that other girl because she'll do anal with me.
We're obviously generalizing, and I do believe that enough people can look at these things critically.
Yes.
To
well, you would hope that anyway.
To see what's different or not. But I think that it will come a point where, like, not everybody can look at it critically, and not everybody can identify that it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And there are some, I've noticed in like Love Is Blind and X on the Beach and other series that I've named here, like Are You the One? It's these
count?
Ones, it's the kind of ones where they gamify it a little bit.
Yeah.
Where you see the really negative behaviors.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for a really long time, relationships have been portrayed really dangerously in media and film.
I think they're always portrayed really badly. Like, there's very few accurate representations in TV or film of relationships.
A normal, healthy relationship.
Yeah. Like, whose relationship is healthy on telly? Nobody's, because it's not good crack to look at.
Yeah.
Like, imagine Ross and Rachel were just happy together.
But like Monica and Chandler were.
Like, but they were and they weren't. And like, they weren't like the fulcrum of the show either.
Yeah.
Like, if Monica and Chandler were the way they are, and then Rachel and Ross were also just happy together over the course of 10 years,
it would have just been very boring.
It would have been the shittest show ever.
Yeah, I suppose. And that's the thing, that like, relationship is the easiest way to create conflict. And conflict is the driving force of all narrative.
Totally.
So it's like,
it's supremely difficult to create conflict without relationships.
Exactly.
I think an interesting thing, sorry.
Emma's coming in with an interesting thing. Would you like to come over to my mic, Emma?
No.
I don't think Emma needs a mic ever.
Okay, go on. I'll turn this towards you.
I just want to say that I kind of hear people talk about it as well. Like, that turning love into a game makes people feel like winners and losers. Like, if you are in a relationship watching it, like, you feel like you're winning. And then it can make people who are single feel like, in real life, that they're like, not winning, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
So Emma,
that is true.
Producer Emma has just chimed in and said that gamifying relationships, which even when you say it like that, just you realize how dangerous
it is. Disturbing,
yeah. Gamifying relationships makes creates winners and losers, and it makes single people feel like losers, and people who are in relationships feel like winners. And obviously,
which is inherently bad,
which is so bad,
because then it basically tells you that being single is bad and being in a relationship is the only way things can be good, which is nonsense.
Yeah. I do have a great list. Do love a list.
Oh my god. Why did you make this list in the last 3.5 minutes since you decided to do this?
I have a couple of lists, so I'm gonna bring
out
some
data. Did you have this pre-prepared?
No, I didn't, but it's always on my mind. It's clearly, just ready clearly for the opportunity yeah, to okay. ever bring it out. I run this podcast studio in case people ever ask me to jump on mic.
Okay.
So there is symptoms, and you'll start recognizing these as like plot
drivers.
Yeah.
Okay.
So things that we've noticed in film that are portrayed in films as romantic, in real life are dangerous
toxic
and toxic.
Okay.
So predatory behavior earlier on. So the classic guy pursues girl who doesn't know that he exists.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a film with Freddie Prinze Jr. in it that always comes back to me. It's not She's the One. She's the One is that massive...
The transformation.
Transformation, yeah, which yeah, yeah. we were talking about off mic there the other day. Mm. The classic, you know, girl gets transformation. Suddenly becomes...
Guy, yeah.
Yeah, awful.
What else was Freddie Prinze Jr. in? I am struggling here.
It's but the
he
film...
He was in Scooby-Doo, I think. Are we talking about Scooby-Doo?
No. Scooby-Doo is not...
No, okay.
I'm going to find... Our producer Emma is researching the film over there in the corner,
furious googling. There was actually a film just while we're waiting
She's
for the
all
Google.
That is the other film. Sorry,
she's Emma. Oh yeah, She's All That. There's a film called Center Stage. Have you ever seen it?
Oh, I don't think so.
No, it's very niche. It's a dance film, and I was obsessed with dance when I was a child. And I actually, funny story, rented it so many times for my local Extravision. They just gave it to me because they felt sorry for me, and I was the only person who ever rented it. On video
back in the day.
Children, a video is this thing. No, I'm not going to go into it, but anyway, in that film there's a guy and there's a girl, and the guy wants to go out with the girl. She's a ballet dancer, he's a waiter who is studying medicine, and he turns up at her place of work several times, and he convinces one of her friends to tell him her last name. Mm-hmm. So then he starts stalking her with phone calls at her place of work. Then he gets in touch with her mother, and all of this, he does all these things. And in the end, everyone's like, oh, isn't that so lovely? He like really liked her. And then she gets with him and all as well. And it's a very, very, very much a subplot of the film. I think his name is Jim or Tim maybe, and the dancer's name is Maureen. Anyway, it's very much a subplot, but it's so bizarre how the film puts this forward as this like normal, healthy thing for a guy to do, and it's somewhat portrayed as being romantic.
And it was like a plot of all the early 90s. Like even 500 Days of Summer, like he pursues her, he's so in love.
Yeah.
His love is endearing because it's nothing is going to get in his way.
Yeah.
And we've seen it over and over again. But like that
Aladdin.
let's leave Disney out of it now for a little while. Let's not ruin everyone's fun. Nobody can go watch TV anymore. We're literally shitting on
everything.
We've
taken away all of your good programs that you like.
But like that's it. That kind of like persistence is key. Like that was the messaging, and that like you will fall in love with someone if you just stick with it.
Yeah.
Which obviously, if that happened,
and women have no agency. Like
no, and like a woman will succumb to your advances because they're cute.
Yeah.
But like in reality, they're fucking creepy and
terrifying.
I sound like such an annoying person, but like it's harassment if someone is constantly at you for a date and you're saying no, and they ask you again and again and again. Okay, harassment might be a bit harsh, but it is annoying and it puts someone in an uncomfortable position to be able to have to say no over and over and over again.
And in films, like, so in real life, if you're being asked and asked and asked and pursued and pursued and pursued, all the films and all the television shows will tell you, just say yes, it'll probably work out in the end.
But no, it does not. Because it's indicative of very like of kind of obsessive behavior.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And controlling behavior.
Yeah. And this, okay, the next thing on my list here, this list is, by the way, 6 bad relationship behaviors that the media portray as romantic, from Dr. Marcia Ciorta, MD. I really enjoyed this list.
That is Cassie's pseudonym.
Yeah, it's me. Just ways to shit on people's day.
So,
boundary violations. And this is what we're seeing
right
in in these reality TV shows because they're put in situ with each other often for like a period of time together. So Love Island, they're together for 6 weeks. Yeah. Are You the One? They all move into the same house together. Right.
So is Love Island, what's the boundary there?
Like, it's just boundary violations are where very early on in a relationship, someone's you just don't respect people's boundaries and you're not creating that personal space.
Yeah.
So you're not, you know, it's that intensity is created straight away. Yeah. And that creates an expectation, yeah, of intensity for the entire relationship.
Yeah.
And the things you set out early on in your relationship are very difficult to then reset a year, 6 months, agreed, a year and a half in.
But even like after, like in the case of Love Island, like you go in and it is like a holiday romance. You spend 24 hours a day with someone in this place where you don't have a job to go to. You don't, yeah, have any of the normal life parameters to deal with. You don't have
your phone.
You don't have your phone. You've literally nothing getting in the way.
Yeah.
And like you're extremely hot. In the case of Love Island, anyway, you're like a really, really hot person. A really, really hot person in the real world is pursued and chased and, you know, has a lot of options. And when they're in a villa with only the same people for whatever it is, 6 weeks, like, and there's cameras there, of course they can't be, you know, and they still manage to cheat on each other in a weird, yeah, way. Like, even though there's cameras there and there's people monitoring what they say to each other, they still manage
the cameras. They must forget them because their behavior is so bad.
Yeah.
And also you can't, even if you go in with a certain pretense of who you want to be portrayed or who you want to portray yourself as, that will, you can't keep that up for 6 weeks. Nobody can, unless they're complete and utter narcissists, which some of them probably are.
I agree.
But the boundaries thing in Love Island is significant, I think. I had another point. Oh, yeah. And despite the cameras, the gaslighting and the environment that you're in, right? So, like, typically, if you meet someone in the outside world, it is healthy to talk to your friends and family about the person you are seeing.
Yeah.
So it is important to get an outsider's perspective on something that has happened or conversations that you have or behaviors, because you have to talk to other people who've had those experiences to give you insight.
And let's not forget the one thing that the people in Love Island are lacking, because obviously they can talk to each other, but the thing that you do when you need to run something by someone in your family or friend, you go to someone who mainly cares about you,
yeah,
and who only has your best interest at heart and only wants good for you. Whereas when they go to someone else in the villa for advice,
they don't
know each other. They don't really care about each other.
But also they're not objective. They're asking for advice in a similar, it's the blind leading the blind. Like, it is you're asking for advice in someone who's in a similar situation and has no greater insight. 20-year-old
who's never had a boyfriend. Yeah.
Whereas like if you have a proper comparison on the outside world and you've met someone and they're behaving in a way, or you're saying to your friends, look, I'm happy with such and such, I could be happier with someone else, what do you think? They might be like, cop yourself on, or deal with it in the appropriate way.
Yeah.
Meet up with them, text them, let them know it's not working out. Mm-hmm. Maybe give it a day or two before you go back on the dating apps or whatever it is. But in Love Island, it's just so intensified and it's so... it's just because it's a TV show and everything happens, it has to happen instantly as well. Again, that is just creating this weird vortex where respect and normal behavior has just gone out of it. But also I think despite the cameras in Love Island, we did see last year an awful lot of gaslighting. So even though things were recorded and they knew that the person they were talking to could later go back and view the footage or would later see what was happening, in that moment they still chose frequently to lie,
to just lie,
or to kind of lead people on and change the parameters of what was said, or to say things like, I didn't say it like that wasn't
and
my intention.
And you know what's funny, I think last season that gaslighting thing really, really, really showed itself, because in previous seasons, before the duty of care thing came in, which can only be a good thing, but before that duty of care thing came in, what they used to do was, one of the episodes was they would replay things that people had said to the other people in the villa. So they'd actually show them evidence or quotes or video footage of the other person
saying
something.
But again, taken out of context.
Yeah. But still, like, you know, they knew, there was a little bit of awareness that, okay, if I say this, the show may play this back
yeah.
in to all my mates. Whereas when the duty of care came in, they took that out. So everyone was just like, it's unlikely that this will get repeated back until we're at least out of the villa.
Yeah. And some people have no intention of continuing their relationships outside of the villa, so no. they don't really care.
No.
But I think there was obviously some incident in 2019 in the summer show
yeah.
because it caused Women's Aid to come out and make a statement. And the statement, they said that they were increasingly concerned about what appeared to be unhealthy fledgling relationships being used as entertainment. The programme has shown Amber repeatedly reduced to tears and appearing to have her emotions manipulated. We hope that producers are looking after the well-being of the contestants and will step in at any form of if any form of behaviour becomes abusive. We have been in contact by a number of viewers and social media throughout the series about the behaviour they are worried about involving several contestants and would ask the producers to always take this seriously. So basically, I think that was about when...
There was so much going on that season.
Yeah, and like Michael was saying things to Amber along the lines of that's not how it happened or that's not what I said yeah. or yeah. trying to retrospectively
change,
explain
yeah.
or change what statements were yeah. made. And obviously when you're sitting next to someone, gaslighting is so insidious. It's such a big problem.
I literally just Googled Amber gaslighting and I have a lot of information here.
Like it's when someone's basically... I don't know the actual definition of gaslighting, but it's like when they're manipulating the situation or your thoughts to make you believe something that isn't necessarily true.
Yes.
Or to question how you remember something.
Yeah.
And it, like,
or to me, I feel like for me, the kind of gaslighting thing is when you are made out to be the crazy one.
Exactly.
Like as in
you were so drunk you don't remember that.
Yeah.
Or you did this.
Or like, say, I don't know, like say Amber was like, hey, you were totally flirting with her. And then Mike's like,
you're jealous.
No, you're just not.
You have a problem with jealousy.
Turning the fault completely around and making the other person think that they're the one with the issue.
Exactly. And it's a really, really dangerous manipulative behavior. Yeah. And it's one of like the biggest red flags that people should look out for in a relationship.
Yeah.
But that is something that we unconsciously do when we're watching these TV shows. Because when a woman often reacts to a guy who's behaving inappropriately, because we've already bought into the license of, well, they can do that and they can talk to whoever they want and they can get to know whoever. When a girl takes issue with that, the jealousy is often thrown on her. And we have those tropes all the time in media that women are jealous, hypersensitive, hysterical, and men are, they can be players, but they're charming and they're flirtatious
they're
and whatever.
Cucumber,
you know, and it's, I'm not going to get into those tropes and those stereotypes yet, but I'm not going to get into
them. Sorry.
That's another episode of Cassie Shits
To be the first 4-hour episode of Private Education.
And another thing. All these behaviours, I don't think I need to get into like the other list.
Have we finished your list?
There's a few more things, like stuff that we see that is not you should avoid in an actual real life relationship. So hypersexual behaviour in the early days of a relationship.
Okay.
So we saw this in Love Island or Love is Blind as well.
Yes.
One of the girls meets the guy and she's like, oh my God, he's so gorgeous. And she's like, I just want to rip his clothes off. Can I put sex every day in a prenup?
Yeah.
And it's really over hypersexualized.
Yeah.
And she's obviously using sex and her sexuality as a means to create a forced sense of closeness with the guy.
Yeah.
So it's very clear from my non-psychiatrist viewing that this one guy in Love is Blind, Bennett Barnett, was talking to a couple of girls.
Right.
And there was a couple of girls who were ready to accept his proposal.
Yeah. There's an alarm or a fire brigade going
that's
by.
That's my ride. It's the fun police coming to take away all of the fun.
It's the guards. They're here to take Cassie away. We hope everyone involved in that fire alarm is fine.
So there's hypersexual behaviour.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Like,
I think there's a healthy level of sexual.
Everyone on Love Island just hypersexually driven at the start,
like it's all
in their
physical.
Early 20s and they're basically naked 24 hours a day.
Love Island is physical
and they're forced to share beds together.
Yeah, it's bizarre. But I think on Love is Blind, when this guy Barnett was talking. Bennett. What's his name? Barnett.
I think his name is Barnett. Barrett? No, Barnett. Barrett. Barnett.
His second name is Matt Barnett.
Barnett.
And he goes by Barnett.
All right, Burnett.
There you go.
So Burnett is talking Burnett is talking to multiple girls, and there's multiple girls who are ready to
to accept his proposal. Jessica, one of them, the sporty girl.
Jessica, yeah. Amber, and this girl Elsie, who then leaves the show because she doesn't get an engagement.
Oh, God,
but thankfully, Jessica's also been talking to this other guy, also ready to propose.
Yeah.
So Jessica ends up with
people are flat out
Mark,
trying to propose to Jessica. Yeah.
Yeah. And Burnett ends up with Amber. So Amber, obviously all the girls are living in one house together, mm-hmm. so they can talk and mingle and like discuss their dates. And the guys go back and they discuss their dates as well, which also creates this competition element
of it's weirdly
who wants to get the guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the girl, because I remember there was a guy who was like, I'm really into, I think it was Mark with Jessica. Mm-hmm. And Mark was like, oh my God, I'm mad about her. And like, we really have a connection. And Barnett was like, oh, I don't want to talk to Mark because he's like into my girl, and you know,
yeah,
they're competing with each other. Insane.
Even then, Barnett goes in and he's speaking to Jessica, and he's like, "Look, Mark is mad about you, and I'm not into games. If you're talking to him with the same intensity that's here, then whatever." And she's like, "I'll call it off with Mark." And he's like, "Great, because I'm ready to propose to you." The next day, she's like, "Do you still feel the same?" And he's like, "Oh, I don't know. I'm just building these other connections with these other girls." And so she goes back to Mark and basically says, "Oh, well, look, Barnett, I was talking to Barnett, but I was confused. It was all him telling me, because Mark is 24, Jessica's 34. She was like, it's all him putting ideas in my head, and I'm sorry, and I do want to be with you. So then they get engaged. Then Barnett goes back and he gets engaged to Amber. So Amber's obviously been aware.
I actually feel like I'm on mushrooms listening to you
talk.
It's
bizarre.
It's so mental.
So yeah,
like it's
they
mad.
Get engaged.
And like the 24-year-old guy and the 34-year-old woman, that's not going to work.
No. Oh, Ashling, none of it is going to work.
It's going to work.
No one is going to
and
walk
also,
out of here happy.
Jessica, like, you can't just be like, oh yeah, I'll sack off Barnett or sack off Mark for you, Barnett. And then when Barnett's like, actually, I'm not that mad about you, she's like, oh,
Mark,
hey, Mark,
I'm so sorry.
Like,
and there's lots
engaged.
Of tears. And then she's like, I love you so much. I love you. This will, you know, I will stick by you forever. So
forever. Like, you don't get, like, marriage.
So
my nerves.
Yeah, so then Barnett goes with Amber, and when Amber meets Barnett, she's really attracted to him because they're all attractive. Like, they're all really good-looking, able-bodied people.
No, they are. There's not much diversity or much
not a bit.
Much aesthetic.
Mark's
diversity.
A little short, but that's about
that's
it.
That's
like
the size of it.
So when Amber then, I think, knowing that there had been competition there with Barnett, she's obviously knows that she's seen Jessica as well. Jessica is typically beautiful, blonde.
Yeah. She's an athlete,
gorgeous physique. And she's just hypersexual then towards Barnett. She's like, I want to rip his clothes off, I want to do whatever. And I think they go on holidays then, and four out of the five couples sleep with each other on the first night. Or I think three out of five maybe, but one definitely did stop. They said they stayed up really late. And I think that was like her over sexualizing the scenario, and her she hadn't up until that point been particularly sexual in her language, and then introducing that, I think, is a mechanism for her to create that closeness and
that
forced bonding.
That's something that lots of people do when they don't have any other way to, like, you know, I don't want to say coerce someone into a relationship, but like it's like when you want to get somewhere in a relationship with someone, you use sex as a weapon.
Yeah, exactly. Or a reward.
Or as a reward. Yeah.
And you know, it's a
praise thing.
Sex becomes and sexuality has for years between men and women been a currency, like, and you trade it back and forth to get
what you want.
And that happens a lot in this, but that is dangerous behavior. Yeah. And it's, you know, when you enter into a relationship with someone, or you're dating someone, or you're just seeing or getting to know someone, you can take your relationship to the next step or make your relationship official without having to be sexual or not being overly sexual.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't set out if you're being hypersexual in the beginning, obviously there's at the start of a relationship, there is a lot of physical contact. You're getting to know each other. It's exciting. It's lovely. It's really, really nice. But if there's a level of hypersexuality there that makes you feel uncomfortable, that is a problem, you know, and it just, these shows and viewing this on the TV and seeing this in the media and seeing this in the media for years, not just these TV shows, kind of perpetuates that idea that if you're not ripping each other's clothes off, there's no chemistry there and there's no, there's and nothing
can
there.
Can we also just swerve back to Love Island there for a second? Because something that strikes me when I watch it is, you know, when they find out that a couple is going into the hideaway,
the boom room,
the sex room.
Yeah.
So literally now, I know they're all like in the early 20s and it's, they're all still real excited about sex. But when they suggest a couple to go in, and then the couple, right, this is what happens on Love Island. This couple are going into a private room to essentially have the very, very organized, right, first sexual encounter. They might not actually have sex, but they do other things, generally. Some of them don't, but most of them do. What, like, the girl will go off with the girls and she'll pick out her best lingerie, and then the guy goes off with his guys and picks out, I don't know, the boxers that make his dick look the biggest. And then the girl and her friends, like, walk out of their dressing room, and the girl comes out and she's in her lingerie, and the group of girls present her to all of these onlooking men, and then the man comes over with his dick out and is like, here I am, here's my dick. And then all the guys are like, yeah, and they're like screaming like animals, and the girls are like giggling and squealing, and it's like
when you're in primary school and you have to shift someone and everyone counts you down.
Yes, it is like that on acid. It's like, and it's so bizarre, and it's like the weirdest thing ever, because you're basically saying, here is my friend, here is the outfit that she is going to wear while she has the sex with this new guy that she, like, it's just bonkers. And then they go off into the room and they have to have this most awkward filmed, like, forced intimacy thing. And it's just appalling. Intensely creepy.
Yeah, it is just another one of those things that is just so,
but imagine everybody cheering you to go off and have the ride.
Yeah.
Imagine you and your girlfriend are like gonna have the ride. All of her friends are on one side of the room. All of your friends are on the other side of the room, and everyone's like, "Well done.
Well done.
You look fantastic in those knickers there, Cassie. Like, great.
Off you
hope
go.
You enjoy yourself." Like, it's just demented.
It is bizarre. But the last thing, right? There is a list on Psychology Today of 51 signs of an unhealthy relationship.
51. We only have another 15 minutes.
Okay. I'll speed through it.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to read this out, but this list has often done the rounds. It's shared by Women's Aid and stuff.
They
often put together like the 12 checkpoints you should look out for.
Okay.
And it's funny when you, it's not funny, but when you read through them, you'll start seeing those behaviors in those TV shows.
Right.
But the last one that I want to talk about that I think is particularly dangerous is how it creates this sense of ownership over the other person. So in Are You the One, everyone has a match. And it's you're my match, you're my perfect match, you're mine.
Everyone
in
else,
Love Island,
step off.
It's I'm going to couple up this person, that's my couple, that's my person, because my place on this TV show and in this game depends on me
being in this couple.
Being in that couple and having that ownership thing. And again, in Love is Blind, it gamified it to the point where there was, you know, did Barnett actually want Jessica, or did he want to just beat Mark? Did Mark want to beat Barnett to get Jessica? Jessica was the prize.
Yeah.
And the same with Barnett was the prize amongst the other girls.
Like,
it just created this weird sense of, that is mine, I'm having that. And that's language then that we're seeing in Love is Blind. Amber, so they all go on holidays then together, and they don't realize it, but they're met up. So they all get to see each other in real life.
Right.
So Jessica does meet Barnett.
Okay.
And they can all see, the girls can all see all the guys, all the guys can see all the girls. And then they're like, the guys are like, well, I've been talking to her as well, and I did have a connection with her. And now that I see that she's blonde, then maybe my connection is suddenly stronger. So they reintroduce the physical element
but
of the
relationship. But aren't these people all already engaged?
Yes.
Yes,
Aisling. They are all
engaged. It just
engaged.
Makes me want to cry.
And every now and then in the corner of the screen, it's like 36 days until the weddings, or like 25 days until the weddings. And you're like, this is, oh, palpitation inducing, because it's A, not enough time to plan a wedding.
Really, from a logistical perspective, aside from all of this crazy relationship
they're
shit.
In Cancun, they're not prepared.
How are they going to book a photographer?
And they're going to stress out a lot of photographers. But it is not, it's not, it's bizarre, obviously. Yeah. Yeah. But there is that language there where Amber's like, if she tries and goes for my man, you know, no one's going to beat me. He is mine. And like, that is the most fundamentally dangerous position to have in a relationship.
Yeah.
You do not own the other person.
No.
The other person, like your significant other, your partner or whatever, is that. It's a partner.
Yeah.
And you should be going into things equally. And this idea of ownership that's perpetuated by all of these reality TV shows, I think is fundamentally the most fucked up thing that we can allow young people or people entering into the relationships to buy into, because it is from that obsessive ownership will breed toxic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So, all in all, to summarize, thanks for coming to my TED Talk. Turn off the internet. Stop watching TV.
Don't watch any more reality TV shows. And please, on the 18th of June, please vote for Cassie Delaney. Give her your number one vote.
I'm actually going to segregate the entire country. Men and women can go live on different islands. Queers on another one altogether. No one's allowed to mingle. Everyone just live by themselves. It's the safest
possible
way.
With no televisions.
None whatsoever.
But your income tax is safe.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it? Where do you stand on that sort of thing?
I will improve the revenue online system is all
fantastic.
I can say.
Okay, brilliant. Great. If you can improve revenue.ie, we will all vote for you.
Thank you for having me. I'm sorry for ruining everyone's Friday.
So that nobody should watch anything on Netflix for the next while. Just steer clear of any and all reality TV shows. Actually, do you know what I was only thinking of when you were talking there? Not that I wasn't fully focused on all of your 51 points.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson.
Oh, we didn't even get onto that.
Like, there seems to be a bit of a resurgence.
Yeah.
A newlyweds resurgence. What is that? Where
because
does that stem from?
Jessica released her book.
Okay, yeah.
And Nick is on Love is Blind. So both
thriving.
Oh my
God, he is on Love is Blind.
Nick is the presenter of Love is Blind.
And I remember, I'm having a flashback here to something that made me get sick in my mouth. Vanessa Lachey, Nick Lachey's wife.
Second wife.
Introduced herself and she said, "Hi, I'm Vanessa Lachey." And then the camera panned to Nick and he went, "And I'm obviously her husband, Nick Lachey." And I was like, why are you saying the word obviously there? What is obvious about
because
that?
Because this is the
this
thing.
This is the thing.
It's the togetherness. Yeah. The we must be together. It's the hanging your worth on somebody else.
Yeah.
Like hanging your worth and your position in a relationship, or again, gamifying it so the people in the relationships win and the people who are on their own are losers.
Yeah.
And that's not the case.
And also I'm going to start a petition to free Vanessa from Nick Lachey, because I actually think she must be being
well, that's apparently there's quite a lot of
in that
stuff in Jessica's book about how unhealthy their relationship was.
But did you ever watch the show? I watched one episode to refresh my memory about what a dickhead Nick was. And the episode is the one where they move into their new house, or they've moved in, and she's like, "Oh," and she tries to empty a vase of flowers into a bin and the water goes everywhere. And she's like, "Nick, I made a boo-boo." And she acts like a complete child, which is fine. That's whatever. That's on her. But then he comes in and he's like, "Jesus Christ, Jessica." And he just openly hates her. He openly thinks
there was a lot
she
of that
is stupid.
Dumb, yeah.
And he openly thinks she is lazy. And he openly thinks, you're literally looking at him going, "Sorry, why did you marry this woman?"
But again, that
were you on a game show?
That
were
conflict
you on this?
In the relationship is what made it such an entertaining TV show.
Totally.
Back through the lens of haha, this is grand, this is reality TV.
Mm-hmm. When I was 13, I didn't know what I was watching.
No, but if you were in a relationship with someone who was so mean to you as he was to her, you'd be miserable.
This is the thing though, right? 13-year-old me watching Nick Lachey
thought he was a gift.
Oh my God, a gift. And I thought, Jessica, you are a bit thick. But now, looking back, I'm like, oh no, okay, you were misunderstood, Jessica. And also, Nick was a complete wanker. But this is the point, and it's come full circle, because Cassie is worried about the 13-year-olds of now looking at Love Island, thinking that Mike and his "could I be happier" shite is healthy.
Yeah.
And it is not.
Or the actual, which we didn't get into at all, just comparing available people against each other.
Mm.
So saying, Jessica's better than Amber, who's better than Elsie, who's better than that because of X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. It's like, just give everyone a chance. Turn off the internet.
Home messages, turn the internet off, give everyone a chance.
Just be kind to people. Just be kind. Nice. And don't be dickheads. And to be honest, you probably won't be happier with someone else.
Happiness is a myth, yeah. Everyone.
It's all fleeting anyway.
And death comes to us all. And we will end there. Okay. I'm gonna wrap this up in any way I possibly can. Thank you very much for listening. Happy Friday. Happy whatever bloody day it is that you're listening. I'm delighted that you're still sticking around because God knows... I'm just shocked that everyone is still listening, and I'm unbelievably grateful as always. Thank you, Cassie.
You're welcome.
Will you do every episode with me?
Absolutely.
When she said she had a lot of feelings, I did not know what was
going on.
I didn't
know on the surface all the time.
I didn't know what I was in for.
I'm like heavy on my period. I'm just recovering from the shingles. I don't socialize a lot. It's there all the time.
I've changed Cassie in my phone from Cassie Delaney to Cassie Shinglyback.
I'm available for all and any corporate events.
Okay.
Get in touch.
Thanks, Emma. Thanks for bearing witness to this situation. And thank you everybody for listening. I'll talk to you next week. Stay safe, have fun. Goodbye.